17. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Let me begin this morning's message by way of confession and apology. The truth we find in this verse is one that I haven't always lived up to myself. Friends are rare. Even though with today's technology and Facebook and Twitter and all that other stuff, they've got their BFFs, which is, I think, best Facebook friend is what that means or something. But I humbly admit I haven't always lived up to the subject we're preaching on this morning, which I humbly confess as being a weakness. But I also want to admit also that what we're speaking on this morning has been a lifelong lesson, for me anyway, learning what friends are, learning what a brother is. And it has especially come to mind, the importance of this subject, over the last 2 years in my times of personal trials and afflictions, of coming to understand what a friend really is and what a brother is. And you know the conclusion I've come to. They're few and far between. And I'm humbled by the fact that I have not been a friend or a brother. I should have. So I begin this morning's message by letting you know I have not apprehended this truth myself. I believe it's a lifelong lesson. And I hope and pray God would inspire and encourage all of us this morning concerning this great truth. You know, it was David who declared in Psalms 34, and I want you to listen to the wording of this. David said in Psalm 34, verse 8, he said, "O taste and see, taste and see that the Lord is gracious," or good. Taste and see. Now, taste in the Scripture is experience. If you notice, he puts taste before seeing, which means illumination or enlightenment or understanding. In other words, David is saying there are some things about God and Christianity that we have to, as believers, come to taste or experience before we can see or understand it. Now, don't misunderstand me. That's not a general rule for all Scripture. But there are a lot of things, a lot of truths in God's Word, and a lot of truths about true Christianity. Beloved, we're not going to understand or believe until God's brought us in a position in our lives to taste it. Are you following me? Thank God we don't have to experience everything. But there are a lot of things in Christianity. And this is what makes Christianity, for me, so wonderful and so overwhelming. Is it's not just in a set of ideas or thoughts or doctrine. But it's something that affects my whole being. Amen? We love God because He first loved us. We love emotion, taste, Him, because why? Because He first loved us. There are a lot of things about Christianity, a lot of things about God's truth, beloved, that we're not going to really comprehend or understand until we've tasted it first. An old preacher said this, and it takes a minute to sink in, but I want you to hear this, and I want it to sink in. He said this about this verse of Scripture. He said, "The enjoyment must come before the illumination." Or rather, the enjoyment is the illumination. He said, there are things that must be loved before we can know them to be worthy of our love. Things to be believed before we can understand them to be worthy of belief. End of quote. That's a big saying, but a lot of truth in that. Peter said it as well in 1 Peter chapter 2. He said, as newborn babes desire. The sincere miracle of the word desire. Desire means a passion excited by the loving of an object. And he puts taste before understanding. He said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted, experienced, that the Lord is gracious. Now listen to the wording of Peter. Desire it. There's that passion for love of an object. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted, experienced, Lord is gracious. Again, we see how Scripture puts experience before believing or longing for something. So in spite of what people say, experience does have a place in the Christian life. Now, again, I'm not saying that that experience overwhelms. I like how in the book of Job, that fourth unknown person, unknown, I say that lightly, was the one who said wisdom is not always found in age. That's true. But that's not the rule. Experience has sometimes a lot to do with Christianity. That's why the Bible exhorts us to respect our elders. That's why it talks about the spiritual strong helping the weak. That's why it's good to have brothers and sisters in the church who've lived the Christian life and went through the ups and downs and the ins and the outs and the trials and the joys to help younger Christians. That's why older Christian women are encouraged to instruct and teach younger Christian women on how to love their husbands. So experience does play an important role in the Christian life. And it's when we detaste the divine truths found in this passage of Scripture that we truly begin to understand and believe the fullness of its blessings. Let me read it again. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Let me begin this morning by defining unto you what a friend is. Now, understand this. I'm not going to be able to put this exactly what in words what a friend is. I think you understand that. It goes deeper than that. But let me give you the old Webster 1828 dictionary definition of a friend. This is what a friend is defined as. Now listen. One who is attached to another by affection. One who entertains for another sentiments of esteem, respect, and affection, which lead him to desire his company and to seek to promote his happiness and prosperity. That's what the biblical or the dictionary definition of a friend is. And it's pretty close. And again, I'm not saying we can actually put the definition of a friend in words, but that's pretty close. He's attached to another by affection. And he entertains or he has these feelings of esteem and respect and affection. And it leads him to desire his company and to seek and promote his happiness and prosperity. That's the definition of a friend. The number's getting smaller, isn't it? Such a friend, Solomon in our text declares, loves at all times. In good times as well as bad times. The love of a friend or a friend loveth at all times. That's what he means. Good times and bad times. The love of a true friend, in other words, what Solomon's saying, is consistent and faithful and loyal at all times. No matter what happens, no matter what you and I circumstances are, A true friend will love us in all those circumstances. His love isn't influenced by changes or circumstances. A true friend. It remains faithful in good and bad times, and its loyalty is never shaken. That's a true friend. For a friend loveth at all times. Again, the number of friends are decreasing rapidly, isn't it? We throw that word out so much. You know, I know some people personally on Facebook. I feel sorry for them. Because in social media, it's almost as though they base Facebook and the internet on their social life, who they are. They put up these posts that says, oh, your name means that you're beautiful and you're lovely and you're kind and you're friendly. Oh, this is what this means about you. And it seems as though they're lacking any kind of social life outside of Facebook. And unfortunately, the internet has and continues to destroy human relationships and communication. Nobody can communicate anymore. It's all OMG and TIK and you and this and that. And people are more open to speak things to a computer than they are personally with people. And again, I humbly admit that I haven't always been faithful in this subject of a friend. So I'm not criticizing and judging people. There are many who profess to be a friend, yet few who have stood the testing of time and circumstances, whose love and sympathy grew inconsistent and fickle in times of trouble and distress. You know that? I found that to be true in my own life. People profess to be your friend until hard times come or difficulties come. I remember, brethren, already in Germany, I thought we'd be friends forever. Didn't last. Time, space, miles, distance, circumstances have all changed it. How many people can you remember in your life that you thought, boy, we're going to be the best friends forever? Remember that when you was a kid? We're going to grow up together and live together, never get married. Remember those times? True friends are very rare, aren't they? I don't want to make that sound as something sad, but it's reality. This is what he's talking about. This Solomon says that a friend loveth at all times. He narrows it, not me. At all times. You know what Job said to his three friends? Job said in Job 6:14, to him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed where? From who? From his friend. You know, his three best friends were the bestest friends. There's no such word as that, but I'll use it anyway. They were the bestest friends when they sat down and didn't say nothing for days. It's when they opened their mouth and started to instruct Job on why he was suffering, what he was suffering, that the friendship went down. The other day, a brother of mine that I actually ministered to in Germany, in fact, both him and his wife got saved under my ministry. Lovely couple. But I hadn't been in touch with him for years. And he found me on Facebook. He's never been on it. And he found me and he texted me. And he says, hey, man, how things are going? And he found on Facebook what happened to my son. And he said, I was sure sorry about your son. And he said, you know, he said, all day yesterday, I just cried all day. He knew my son. He said, I cried all day yesterday. That's all he said. And of all the people that tried to comfort us in the last 2 years, he did it right. He didn't try to give me a verse that all things work together for good to them that love God. He didn't say, well, there's things, you know, all things happen for a reason. God is good and all. He didn't try to do any. He had pity on me. To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed to his friend. He gave the best response that anybody ever did. He wept with me. Amazing. Do you know that troubles are the trials of true friendship? You know where when your friends are at? When you're in trouble. I had a so-called friend in high school. In fact, I was like the guy that did his, I was his gopher. You know what those are, right? Gopher. A gopher is somebody who goes for it, you know, helps everybody, goes for it. Man, he had a car, and he had a jacked up, remember in the 70s, he had a jacked up, big wheels in the back and all that kind of stuff. You could see the gas tank. Well, the gas tank would be painted. Well, I got under there and painted his gas tank for him. Well, he watched. I was a good friend of mine, I thought. Long story short, I get busted one night with him in the car. We won't go into details why. So I go to jail. I'm not proud of that. He went home. He didn't call my dad. He didn't call my mom. He let me sit in jail. He didn't say anything. And that cop was one of them old traditional type cops. He says, well, we got four cells. Three are empty and one's got one in it. And he's a drunk bum throwing up all the place. I'm going to put this 16-year-old in here with him. He put me in that cell with that drunken bum who was puking all over the place to teach me a lesson. But my so-called friend didn't call anybody. Left me there. You see, troubles really prove who your friends are. When a man's suffering under trials, he'll see who his real friends are and who are merely pretenders. Do you know that? For troubles and trials, they're the true touchstone of a friend's love. They prove the quality and faithfulness of his love or her love. A pretender, you know what they'll do? They'll prove to be disloyal, unfaithful, and they'll abandon you under troubles. Our Lord said it best in John 15. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his what? For his friends. No greater love. No greater love hath no man than this. Greater love hath no man than this. That's a mighty statement, isn't it? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's a real friend. And it's rare, isn't it? And yet, the true love of friendship is greatly enhanced or is magnified according to our passage of Scripture under our adversities. A friend loveth at all times, and watch this. I like how he enhances it, he magnifies it. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Look how intimate it gets. That's even rarer than a friend. What does it mean he's born for adversity? You'll find a real brother when you're in adversity. Now again, I want to remind you from the very beginning, I told you that I have not succeeded in this subject myself. And I've fallen short many, many times myself. But talking from experience, when I was in adversity, the people that disappointed me the most were my brethren. Do you know that? I have never seen Christians distance themselves from me as much as when I was facing tragedy. Maybe they was afraid because they had kids. Maybe they thought I was infected. Or maybe they didn't have the words to say what they needed to say. But let me tell you something that's really, it's a reality, but it's true. In my time of trial, it was Christians that disappointed me the most. But on one side, isn't that the way it ought to be anyway? Amen. It's those that should be closest to you that disappoint you the most. It's not new. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not saying I've achieved something and they haven't. I'm stating a reality here. This is a life learned lesson here for me and for you, I'm sure. And I'll get to the silver lining here in a minute in this, but that's just reality, isn't it? Even Christians can disappoint. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm not the only one. Paul said at my first answer, no man stood with me. He said, all in Asia is turned away from me. When Paul was in adversity, nobody stood with him. His own brothers forgot him and forsook him. Christ in the garden, remember that? He said, could you not stay with me for 1 hour? So it's not that it's not a reality. True friends are rare. Brothers in adversity are even rarer. You follow my train of thought? Adversity tries friendships and separates between the precious and the vile. It's a quote from an old preacher. Adversity tries friendships and separates between the precious and the vile. Adversity really tries and proves the quality of our friendship towards someone else or their friendship towards us. It goes both ways. You know, like fiery trials purge the believer's faith in order to separate and try the quality and measure of our faith. We all know that. It's a biblical principle. But do you know, too, that the fires of adversity try and prove the quality of friends' love for their brethren? Do you know that? Beloved, the power and comfort of human sympathy can be amazing and is necessary. Listen to me closely. The power and comfort of human sympathy can be amazing and is necessary if we are to truly be followers of Christ. We need to show sympathy towards one another. We need to prove ourselves to be friends. A friend loveth at all time. And that's rare. Remember the relationship between David and Jonathan? It said Jonathan loved him more than a woman. It wasn't saying he was being gay. That just expressed the height of his love for David. He loved David. And we all know we have had very few Jonathans, if any, in our life. Friends, yeah. But friends? Friends that have been born from my adversity into a brother? That is very rare. Why is that so, preacher? Why does that sound so negative? Well, because first of all, we're all human, right, sister? me and sister now go over and over with that. We're human. We're just human. We're human. And as humans, we have our shortcomings and our weaknesses and our failures. We do. But there's another reason why we can't find comfort in this measure always amongst men. You say, why? This is the silver lining. Proverbs 18:24 says this, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend loveth at all times is what Proverbs 17:7 says. A friend loveth at all times and a brother is born for adversity. But Proverbs 18:24 said, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know what sticketh mean? Cleaves. Joins himself. Now I wonder who he could be talking about. Listen to me in closing. We all need friends. I wish I had more. I'm not saying it's their fault. You want friends, you have to show yourself friendly, right? That's what Proverbs says. But I have to say, in this brother in adversity, very few. And I think there's a reason for that. We need to try to be friends and brothers. Don't misunderstand me. We need that as believers. We're human. We need that human comfort. We need that. Even Christ expressed his disappointment in his disciples when he said, couldn't you stay awake with me for 1 hour? I mean, we all need that. But there's a reason why we can't get it from humans. You know why? Because there's somebody who says, I don't want anybody closer than me. I don't want any friend closer than me. I don't want any brother closer than me. I want you to find me the closest of the closest. And so though you seek it amongst humans, amongst mankind, you'll never find it in the quality and quantity that I can give you. And you know, in my time, when I couldn't, and I wish I had a brother, oh, I wished so much, I looked so much for a pastor that went through what I did, just to talk to him. Tell me what I need to do. Couldn't find one. That drove me to him. And he said, I want you to know that I'm the closest friend and the best brother you'll ever have. It's good if you can find him amongst mankind, but don't put your hope in them. Put it only in me. Because they'll disappoint you just like you disappoint them. But I'll never disappoint you. And you know what? He hasn't. He should have kicked me to the side a long time ago. Over the last 2 years, he had every right to just walk away from me and say, forget it. He loved me all the time. And when my adversity was there, he was born for it. Nobody ever loved me like Jesus. And nobody ever will. So when you find friends discouraging you and deserting you, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and sorrows to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to him in prayer. So there's a reason for that, beloved. So again, we've all disappointed. I'm not saying that, again, I've arrived. I've disappointed people too. I'm just as guilty. When we all become or become disappointed by our friends and their reactions and their love and their faithfulness, don't forget, you have a friend that sticks his clothes in a brother. Okay? Cling to him. He'll never disappoint you. Read the quote on the back of the prayer list. You'll see what I mean. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, and I'm so sorry that I have failed brothers and sisters. And I have. I'm not pointing fingers unless I'm pointing them to myself. I need so much to learn more of this. But I could never love them or be a brother unto them like you could. So when I failed, Lord, help them to see what you've shown me. That, Lord, though I get disappointed and though I disappoint, you're someone that never will. And you'll love us as thy children all times. And when we have adversity, you'll be born our brother. We thank you, Lord, because we don't deserve that. We love you so much. Bless now, we pray. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.